You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, once again, we are speaking with Dr. Richard Weinberger, CEO of the Association of Accredited Small Business Consultants and author of a new book, Propel Your Small Business to Success, Accelerated Actions to Maximize Profit. Dr. Weinberger, welcome back to Enterprise Radio.
Eric, it's great to be back on your show again. Thank you.
You are quite welcome and good to have you back. So, first of all, is fraud really a problem for small business owners? Let's kick it off with that.
Eric, fraud actually occurs in every type of organization, large, small, profit, nonprofit, rural towns, big cities. Dishonest employees exist everywhere. And interestingly enough, most frequently, it's a valued, trusted employee, not a new employee, who does something dishonest in a business. And you might ask, well, why is that the case? Well, most of the time, and especially what we see in small businesses, Eric, it's a lack of controls combined with complete trust of an employee. And what is a problem with small businesses, and that is many times they might not even be able to recover from a large fraud loss, or it can certainly be devastating where a larger organization can at least incur that a little bit better. So it is a problem for small business owners, and it's something that small business owners want to be very cognizant about.
And that certainly should bring attention to this right away. Now, what is meant by the expression fraud triangle?
Well, these are fundamental reasons, Eric, why someone commits fraud. And the what's important about even discussing this, the more a small business owner understands the elements of fraud, the better they will be able to protect their own businesses. So the three elements of fraud are opportunity, motive or pressure, that's number two, and rationalization. And what we mean by those, and that is, well, for opportunity, does an opportunity exist within a business for someone to commit fraud? In other words, are there weak controls or even lack of controls? Has someone found a way to mitigate the existing controls or get around them? Many times there's a lack of segregation in small businesses, meaning the same person is handling a lot of related functions without any type of supervision. So if no opportunity exists, then the chances of someone committing fraud is actually reduced. So again, that's the first part of the fraud triangle. That's simply opportunity. Then the second part, and that is motive or pressure for an individual to satisfy either basic needs, greed, power. And what's difficult about this element of fraud, and that is that varies among individuals. So it's very, very difficult to predict. In other words, well, what actually is motive for an individual? The motive for you or the motive for me or someone else is going to be completely different. And then the third element of that fraud triangle is called rationalization. And this is where somebody can say, well, I'm entitled to something. I'm entitled to more pay, or I didn't get that bonus that I was entitled to. Or many times the rationalization is, well, it's only a temporary situation. I'll, quote, borrow this money, or I'll borrow these assets, and I'm going to pay it back, and then unfortunately it never happens. So that's what we mean by the fraud triangle. And when all three of these factors are present, it certainly doesn't mean that someone will commit fraud, but the perfect storm may be brewing.
And what would you say are some of the common types of fraud in a small business?
Well, certainly, Eric, we know that stealing money, supplies, inventory, assets, that's all pretty common. But there are actually other types of fraudulent activities that can go on in a small business, such as misrepresenting some type of material fact. And maybe an employee does that so he or she can get a bonus, or to take credit for something that somebody else did, or maybe hoping for a future promotion, or concealing some type of material fact is a type of fraud, and that is, well, some type of error took place, but somebody is trying to hide that error, so let's say, you know, they're not reprimanded, or maybe they're trying to hide some type of error because of a potential lawsuit or even defective products being made. So that's a type of fraud that happens in a small business, along with maybe a conflict of interest, doing business with a related party that nobody knows about, forgery, simply, you know, forging a check that we all might be familiar with, receiving a bribe or even paying a bribe, or what about even selling like trade secrets or names of a customer list that a company has that can be extremely valuable. So these are all common types of fraud in a small business that, you know, everyone should be aware of.
Certainly appreciate your bringing those to our attention today. We are joined by Dr. Richard Weinberger, CEO of the Association of Accredited Small Business Consultants, also the author of the new book, Propel Your Small Business to Success, Accelerated Actions to Maximize Profit, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. And speaking of fraud, what would you say are some tips, or do you have some tips to prevent fraud?
Sure. One of the things, Eric, that is so important in preventing fraud, and that is that every small business owner should really know the signs. In other words, remain alert to the various habits and lifestyles of employees. If they're out of the ordinary from what you think they should be, for what their normal salary is, this is something to be aware of. Someone going through a divorce, maybe someone having family or health problems, psychological problems, even addiction problems. So it's important, in other words, to simply know the signs. Conduct periodic fraud assessments of your business. In other words, examine whatever weaknesses there might be in the controls or weaknesses in any of the oversight policies. Another one, alert employees to controls. Make sure that everyone in your company knows that you have controls in place and that you're going to respond to any potential risks that might occur. And what is most important is that is the owners or managers are going to take corrective action if fraud does occur in their business. So the employees see this as an example. Continuous ethics training is very, very important. So employees are always aware of what the thinking is of the company and what their policies are and what they believe that the ethical behavior and core values of the company's culture is. Setting up communications channels, very, very important. In other words, owners and managers should have an open-door policy that employees feel as though they can come in and talk about something that they feel maybe is not right going on in the company without that fear that someone else is going to find out. Some companies, Eric, actually have established anonymous hotlines so employees can actually call in to report something that they think is not right without them fearing that their names will be made public. But no one wants to really work with a dishonest employee. And then the last two things that I might mention, perform background checks on new hires is very, very important. And then on the flip side of that, conduct exit interviews when employees leave, because it is amazing what you can find out when employees leave and they're really willing to tell all.
And lastly, is there any tool that a small business owner can use to assess potential areas of risk in a small business?
Eric, I call this preparing what's called a risk assessment scoreboard. And what that does, it simply identifies potential areas of concern by categorizing activities surrounding fraud as to an activity being almost non-existent for fraud, being reasonably possible for fraud or being very likely for fraud. So what someone needs to do is go through all the activities of a company. And this is communication, employee training, if vacations are mandatory, anything that has to do with cash receipts, purchasing, inventory. In other words, every single activity in a company, you can go through on this risk assessment scoreboard. In fact, I have a template in my book, and basically score everything as being almost non-existent, reasonably possible for fraud, or very likely for fraud. And then that tells the business owner, where do I need to zero in and what do I need to emphasize to make sure that I can try to eliminate fraud as much as possible.
Well, certainly an eye-opening conversation. If you would, before you go, tell our listeners where they can get more information about the Association of Accredited Small Business Consultants and where they can pick up your book online.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Well, the association is AASBC.com. That stands for the Association of Accredited Small Business Consultants. The book is on a different website. It is called the AMP Approach, A-A-M-P Approach. That's all one word, AMPApproach.com. And also, I'd like to mention that along with the book on that AMPApproach.com, I also have a 40-video lecture series that is a great companion piece to the book.
Well, Dr. Weinberger, certainly has been good to have you back, and thanks for joining us here today once again on Enterprise Radio.
Eric, thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. We've been speaking with Dr. Richard Weinberger, CEO of the Association of Accredited Small Business Consultants and author of his new book, Propel Your Small Business to Success, Accelerated Actions to Maximize Profit. And once again, the website of reference is AAMPApproach.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.